Good afternoon. The Senate
Your line is muted. Your line is unmuted.
Good afternoon. The Senate Labor and Commerce Committee will come to order. The time is 1:36 p.m. We are in Belts, Room 105 of the Thomas Stewart Building in the nation's most beautiful capital city of Juneau, Alaska. Today is Wednesday, February 12th, Abraham Lincoln's birthday. It's kind of cool. Members present are Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Yunt, Senator Dunbar is on the phone. Senator Merrick will be here shortly, and I myself, Senator Bjorkman, am here. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Welcome everyone to Senate Labor and Commerce. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, since this is the Labor and Commerce Committee, could I just take a moment to embarrass two of my friends in the audience who are from labor?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's Melinda Taylor, who's IBEW's communications director, and Dora Wilson, who is her assistant, I believe, whatever her title is. Welcome to the Labor and Commerce Committee meeting. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. Please turn off or silence your cell phones. I'd like to extend a most excellent welcome to our recording secretary, Carrie Tupo, and our LIO moderator, Marnie Provost. We have three bills on our agenda today. First up is Senate Bill 80, extending boards, followed by Senate Bill 79, payment of wages, payroll card account. Our last item today will be Senate Bill 55, TRS contribution rate, PERS, TERS, Social Security, or SBS. First up today, we have Senate Bill 80. We first heard this bill on February 7th when we had a presentation of the bill and took invited testimony. Today it is my intention to have a brief recap of the bill, take public testimony, and look to the will of the committee. For a brief recap, I have my staff and team member, Ms. Savea Beaver. Ms. Beaver, please join us at the table. Place yourself on the record and begin your presentation.
Thank you, Chair Bjorkman and members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. For the record, my name is Savea Beaver, staff to Senator Bjorkman. The bill before you today, SB 80, extends the sunset date of three boards, the Marijuana Control Board, Board of Massage Therapy, and Big Game Commercial Services Board. All three 2023 board audits concluded that the boards have operated in the public's interest by actively amending regulations and enhancing public safety. In the room for questions, we have Chris Curtis, Legislative Auditor, and Sylvan Robb, Director of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. And on the line, we have Bailey Stewart, Chair of the Marijuana Control Board, and Brittany Suava with the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Ms. Beaver. Are there any questions for Ms. Beaver or any of the expert folks we have in the room or online? I just have one question that I'd like to extend to the Marijuana Control Office and the board chair. At the last hearing, I took an update from Director Robb about how the boards she oversees have been doing since the audit was completed last year. I was wondering if we could please get an update as to the progress and happenings with the Marijuana Control Board, either from or both Ms. Suava and Ms. Stewart.
For the record, my name is Brittany. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Bailey.
No, Brittany, please.
Sorry, this is for the record, this is Brittany Suava with the AMCO office. I currently don't have further information on that, but can look more, but we'll look into it and provide more information, unless Bailey already has an update.
For the record, my name is Bailey Stewart. Is there anything specifically about the ongoings of the board, Chair Bjorkman, that you're curious about? As the last meeting, I kind of covered some of the pretty issues that this board is addressing within the state. I know that I addressed some of the concerns in the audit and some of the practices that the board has changed over the past about year and a half since that audit has taken place. Was there anything specifically that you would like me to answer?
No, ma'am. Yes, I recall you addressed the items in the audit and what you've done.
Well, when it comes to the handler permit documentation, I was going to come into the office. I just became chair on February 6th, and I did want to verify that that processes had changed in regards to how the permits are handled. With recommendation two, the implement of a new licensing and enforcement system that's still in the works that did not get implemented last year. There is some issues on the alcohol end that they are completing prior to enacting for the marijuana side of things. That is my current understanding. And as for recommendation three, that the legislature should consider requiring regulation changes, I did address that last meeting, but I will restate it that the board does, if there's anything that is questionable, we do make sure that more than the majority of board members are present in the voting of those issues.
Very good. Thank you, ma'am. Are there any further questions for any of our expert testifiers today? Seeing, hearing none, at this time I will open public testimony on Senate Bill 80. Is there anyone in the room who wishes to testify on this item? Is there anyone online who wishes to testify? Seeing and hearing none, at this time I will close public testimony. Are there any further questions or committee discussion? Seeing and hearing none, what are the wishes of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to report Senate Bill 80, version 34, Larry Sugar 0416/Apple from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, Senate Bill 80, version 34, Lima Sierra 0416/ADAC moves from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. We'll take a brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. Back on the record, it's 1:45 here in Belt's room 105. Next item up is Senate Bill 79. We first heard this bill again on February 7th when we had a presentation of the bill and took invited testimony. Today it is my intention to have a brief recap of the bill, take public testimony, and look to the will of the committee. For that brief recap, we will go again to my team member, Savea Bieber. Ms. Bieber, please join us at the table, put yourself on the record, and begin your brief recap of this bill.
Thank you again, Chair Bjorkman and members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. For the record, my name is Savea Bieber, staff to Senator Bjorkman. SB 79 allows employers to credit employee wages to a payroll card account if an employee has authorized use of a payroll card or if they have failed to authorize a deposit of wages to a specified account. SB 79 provides employees without a bank account a solution to accept payment of their wages that avoids a check cashing fee from a bank. On the line to answer questions, we have Amy Miller, Senior Director of Government Relations with Automatic Data Processing. Thank you for hearing Senate Bill 79 today.
Thank you, Ms. Bieber. Are there any questions for Ms. Bieber or Ms. Amy Miller? Seeing and hearing none, at this time, I will open public testimony on Senate Bill 79. Is there anyone in the room who wishes to testify on this item? Is there anyone online? Seeing and hearing none, at this time I will close public testimony. Is there any further committee discussions or questions? Seeing and hearing none, what are the wishes of the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move to report Senate Bill 79, version 34, Larry Sugar 0494/Apple from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, Senate Bill 79, version 34, Lima Sierra 0494/A as an anecdotic, moves from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note. We'll take a brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. On the record, it is 1:51 p.m. here in Belt's room 105. Next up, we have Senate Bill 55. To present this bill, we have sponsor, the Honorable Bert Sedman, and his staff, Rose Foley. Thank you for joining us at the table. Please put yourselves on the record and begin your presentation. Welcome to Senate Labor and Commerce.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bert Stedman. I'm the senator from District A, representing all the islands in southeast, plus Yakutat and further south. And with me is my trusty aide, Rose Foley. And today what we have for consideration is Senate Bill 55. So if I can kind of just put it in, reference to what we're doing here. We're looking at multiple options throughout the legislature. There's several pieces of legislation dealing with the retirement system to try to enhance it. And when we take a look at one of the areas, in particular, the teacher's retirement system, there's some deficiencies that are glaringly obvious to some of us and of great concern. And this bill will I think, shine a light on it and hopefully open up a discussion on that subject. So if we could back up a little bit in time, the teacher's retirement system was a system put in place back in the territorial days, in the 40s, late 40s. It was put in place to attract and encourage teachers to come to Alaska and help educate our children. We had not a lot of infrastructure at the time, and so we couldn't produce our own teachers. So when we had the opportunity, or they had the opportunity to, well, let me back up a little bit and rephrase that. Back, and I think this is important, in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, the pay grade of teachers was high relative to other teachers nationwide. Put us in a competitive advantage. We had a lot of young teachers wanting to come to Alaska and teach from all over, particularly the Midwest. We had a lot of them in the Sitka school system. And they came to Alaska because of the pay. And that has now changed relative to the rest of the states. We are not one of the top payers of salary in teachers. And I think it's pretty hard to argue that's not the case. We're probably in the middle of the pack. So when the teachers did not have, in the teachers' retirement system, they did not have Social Security, and they had the opportunity to opt in, was it back in the late 50s? I think it was like the late 50s. And they decided not to opt in to Social Security and have not been in the program since then. And that has been a foundation for the retirement of most Americans since it was put in place decades and decades and decades ago. So we have a group that is not there. I believe the reason they didn't opt in is because the pay scale was sufficiently high enough, it wasn't warranted relative to the other teaching locations in the Southern 48. And then the federal government put in some penalties for those that had Social Security and a federal or state retirement plan. So there was a discouragement the last couple of decades for them to go into Social Security. When we at the state decided to abandon Social Security and create our own system called a supplemental retirement system, they were not included in it and have not been included in it. And the structure for it, there wasn't really an easy path for them to be included in it until last year. So when we take a look at the retirement of Tier 1, the original retirement for TERS, and Tier 2, they had a gap in their retirement. Or if you take a look at the, let's go on to page 4. When you take a look at all of us sitting here, probably everybody in this room if we're all state workers, we have contributions from ourselves and the state into our retirement system, no matter what tier you're in. Tier 1, 2, or 3 in PERS, and 4, and then there's an employer contribution. But we also have this mechanism called supplemental benefit system, and that's shown here at 6.12%. And that was the rate of Social Security when they did SBS or supplemental benefit system. So the state opted out of Social Security into and created the SBS system, and all of us contribute 6.12% of every paycheck, and the employer, the state, contributes 6.12%. And the teachers don't have that. And they don't have Social Security. So they have a gap. And when you look at the left-hand side of the table, the average with SBS that all of us have, if we look at how much goes into retirement in dollars, or excuse me, percentages to retirement, and per paycheck, it's roughly 25.24%. So just round it off to 25 for conversations. So every one of us sitting here on every paycheck we get from the state has 12.24 going to a retirement account. That's all well and good. That's the foundation. Replicating Social Security, the top two numbers are added on. That would give us roughly after 30 years of employment, 100% salary replacement. About 80% from the top two categories and the bottom from the rest. So we go over to the right-hand side and we take a look at the teachers. They get an employee contribution of 8 and an employer contribution of 7. So we don't need a mathematician, but that's 15. And the reason that they have 7 for the employer and the employer for the rest of the state, I kind of view the teachers as not much different from a state worker. We're ultimately responsible for education and their salaries and their unfunded liability and the whole works. It falls back to us because of the Constitution. So I'd argue there should be and is a direct comparison. So when we redid the retirement plan to a defined contribution plan 20 years ago, roughly, the teachers not being in Social Security or SBS, they got an increase from the employer contribution of 5 to 7. We increased it 2% as the employer to help compensate for the lack of Social Security or SBS. But given all that, the state worker gets 25% of his or her contribution or salary into retirement. A teacher gets 15. It doesn't make any difference if you're in a defined benefit plan or a defined contribution plan. That 10% spread's still there. You can't close the gap. You can't have a teacher making the same wages as a state worker for 20 or 30 years, it's mathematically impossible, almost unequal, for the teacher to get anywhere close to the retirement benefits of a state worker. I don't think that's right, personally. And this legislation is to shine a light on it and have that discussion. When we look at the value of SBS, just for those watching at home, what we're talking about here, we're not talking about $50,000 or $100,000. We're talking about $600,000, $700,000, $800,000. There's a lot of SBS accounts, supplemental benefits system accounts, owned and controlled by the state employees that are well in excess of $1 million. Nobody talks about it. Nobody points a light on it. It is one of the it's one of the most successful programs the state has ever done. It, in my opinion, is wildly more beneficial than Social Security. It was the correct move they made many, many years ago. But the teachers don't have that option. Not available. Some school districts have opted for deferred compensation plan where a teacher could put money into a deferred compensation plan, but that's not a match. That's their own money out of the payroll. The employer doesn't. So how do you fix it? Well, we've given a couple of options here. So this is one of those bills that's got options. You don't want to add them together. Option A and option B. So if we go to page 6, in this bill, we said, okay, the state's contributing 7%, of which they'd be contributing more than that if they're a regular state worker. So why don't we take a look at increasing the state's contribution from 2%, increasing it from 2%, from 7 to 9%. Doesn't sound like much, but that's a big deal when you start adding up the years and compounding it. That would still leave the teachers short relative to the rest of the state workers. But I think it's a good starting point for the discussion and the modeling to look at that. The other option on the bottom, and again, you want to be careful to try, don't do them together, or you're going to have the opposite problem. You're going to have them overfunded everybody else, right? The other option is to allow them into the supplemental benefit system, the SBS. And we worked through that over the last couple of years, and we had a path last legislative session for that. So there is a door for them to get into the supplemental benefit system. Since then, a few months ago, the federal government pulled off the penalty for Social Security for those having other government pensions. So they could go into Social Security. Also, I think that would probably not be beneficial for them to do that. So we said, fine, let's put them in Social Security or SBS. They can have their choice. And frankly, we're not the ones on Social Security that's stopping the teachers from going into it. They can get together, vote it in, and send us the bill if that's what they want to do. So when we take a look at putting them in SBS, we would make it equal to a normal state worker. If you combined both the increase and putting them in SBS, because the state would have to pick up the other side of this SBS of 6.12, you'd see in the right-hand column that employer contribution to 9 would not exist. We would remove that down so the total numbers would be equal at the bottom at 25. So that would be, that employer contribution would stay at 7. And then we'd adjust out the numbers. So we'd have to, so the employer, it would make no difference to the employer, another way of putting it, no difference to the employer if you work for the state on a road crew or you worked as a teacher, the cost of the employer would be the same. Employer being us, falling back to us. It's expensive. There's no doubt about that. But when you take a look at the retirement, before we get into the discussions of what you're going to put on the upper part, defined benefit, defined contribution, some other mechanism, a money purchase plan, whatever you want to put together, the rock bottom foundation across the country is Social Security, and that's what they don't have. So it doesn't matter what we pile on top. They're underwater. The other point that this bill does that should not go unnoticed is not dealing so much with the teachers, but taking that concept and saying all employers that are in the state's retirement plan, state system, and dealing with municipalities and some others, they will have their employees in Social Security or SBS, or they can have a negotiated labor contract that replicates that. Doesn't matter as long as they have the foundation in place. Because there are some employers that are in the state retirement plan, they did not include certain classes of employees in SBS, and they're out of Social Security. They're not in Social Security. So those people are in the same boat as the teachers that aren't in there. And I think that's fundamentally wrong to not have Social Security or SBS. So this would say all future hires would have to have that. You can't, I don't know if we can go back in time. I don't think so, but you couldn't hire somebody as a city and say, we're going to give you, you know, a defined benefit or defined contribution plan, but you're not going to be in the SBS or you're not going to be in Social Security. You couldn't do that. You'd have to have them in one or the other. So in essence, Mr. Chairman, that's what this bill does. It just tries to level the playing field and put some light on the imbalance that we face.
Thank you very much, Senator Stedman. Are there questions from committee members? Senator Yunt.
Yeah, thank you. So looking at the employer contribution, so the first one here is going to go from 12.56 to 14.56. So that's approximately a 15% increase. And then the other is going to go from 7 to 9. That's approximately a 28% increase. These are both very healthy increases. Has there been, you said you, there's some math out there that would show that to where this would get them at the end after, you know, 20, 25, 30-year career. Hopefully get them back to where they're not taking a pay cut when they retire. That's the thoughts here.
I think pretty close. I think that if we look at the marginal spread, it would be 10%, rounded off on page 4. I think summarizes it the best. Shows that 10% spread, part of which would be covered by the employer, part of it by the employee. It's going to cost the employer money, which is no doubt about it, but the employee is going to have to chip in too. And most likely we'd have to roll that down through the BSA or something mechanically to accomplish it once we figure out what we want to do.
May I follow up, sir?
Okay. Senator Yunt.
Through the chair. If I may ask one more question. So when I think about teachers, I think about their communities and you know, so I just want to make sure I'm not misunderstanding. I think about them being in that community, that's local control. Would it be their school district that would be paying these increases, or it would be the state and would be looking at it as a state employee?
It would be technically the school district, and it would be billed back up through the BSA. So we end up paying the fiddler. We paid the, and when we had the unfunded liability issue, surfaced 20 years ago. That is why the state took the entire liability from the teachers to the state and didn't leave it at the local level. And then, so they're at the normal cost, so we roll that in. But yes, it's significant. The other thing to keep in mind, if they decided to go and opt into Social Security, I'm not so sure the state has much to say about it. I guess we can ask retirement benefits that, but that's my impression that it's up to them to be included or excluded. And I think they can go right down to the local the school districts. It doesn't have to be all the districts. So this bill, I think, would be a good exercise just to figure out and look at how much costs, in the event any of those options take place, what would be the fallout of it.
Thank you, sir.
Any further questions for Senator Stedman? I have one. On slide 7, is your intent there to show both of those options happening at one time?
No. And that leads to the confusion of the bill, kind of like last year. Think of it, you wouldn't do them both because, even though the bill's written like that, because you would be over-porking the school districts, right? You'd be up to 27 from 25. And 25 is a big, big number. It's one of the biggest numbers across the country, the total retirement savings number. So, no, that would be those numbers would be adjusted, and the other column would, the column on the left would pretty much be replicated on the column on the right.
Okay. So your intention with this bill then is the employer contribution would not remain at 7 then if they joined SBS, but that employer contribution would drop to 5.
Right. You'd, yeah, exactly. You would not, Mr. Chairman, through the chair, you wouldn't do them both. If you don't want to do SBS and you don't want to do Social Security, my opinion is, as the employer, we should at least raise, look at raising this employer contribution 200 basis points or 2% because we're still shorting them. It's still paying less than what we're paying for, you know, my salary and Rose's salary and everybody else's salary. It's, there's an imbalance, but you wouldn't want to implement it as the slide shows because then they'd be at 27.4. That would wouldn't be beneficial.
Okay. I'll ask the question again. So if an employer were to choose the SBS option, would the employer contribution to their DC account, would that stay at 7% and they just wouldn't take the go up 2% option to 9%? Or would it drop down to 5%?
I would say the final bill would only go forward with one of the options in it. It wouldn't be the final bill. It wouldn't. It would disappear in the committee substitute. Or, in other words, it's not going to be A or B, take 2% or join Social Security. That's not the intent. The intent is either you go into SBS, and if they don't want to do that or we don't want to do that, then let's look at just raising it 2% as is status quo. Two decision points, not combining and not having some raise at 2% and some go into SBS. All or nothing, one or the other.
Okay.
If I may add to that response, Rose Foley, for the record, staff to Senator Steadman. This bill doesn't contemplate a reduction in the employer contribution rate to TERS DC plans if they enrolled in SBS or Social Security. I think that is a good question and a good conversation point going forward if the employer rate would decrease so that we would have both PERS and TERS DC plans matching at 25.24%. The bill, does, as it's currently written, does not include a provision to reduce the employer contribution rate.
Very well. Thank you. Any further questions? Thank you both.
Thanks.
The Senate Labor and Commerce Committee will not meet at its regularly scheduled time or at all on Friday of this week. Next week's schedule will be out tomorrow, and we will hear some bills that we heard this week, including Senate Bill 11 on flood insurance, as well as some other items, and hope to bring more great presentations and information to the public right here. As there is no further business to come before this committee, we are adjourned at 2:16 p.m.